Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Right, we are recording.
More or less ready to go on this. The two constant features, Ruth, of this podcast are that we don't do what
my
we say.
My charm and also my good looks.
Well, there's that. Although the good looks are pretty useless in audio, to be honest.
You make a really strong point.
That's a strong point, isn't it? But the two main features are that we never do what we say we were going to do the week before. So once again, we won't be tasting herbal teas.
And we're not talking about meditation.
And the other feature that we always have is that we do this little thing first to make us sound quirky and relatable. So are we ready to... Can I start it? We want to get this show on the road.
Yeah, I want to tell you something about magic stars when we start.
Magic stars? Before we start? Right, go on.
Before we start, just because it's a bit of an aside.
Go on then.
So I was talking about Dairy Milk Buttons, and I don't know whether you know this, but after we decided to Brexit, everyone kicked off about how magic stars weren't going to get to be sold over here, because on the back of the packet it said not to be sold outside the EU. Ah. And that was the thing that people were the most mad about, and I'm not sure whether you knew this because you wouldn't have really followed.
No. Was this a bit of a debate on Twitter amongst young people?
Twitter, and then it was like turned into a meme on Instagram, and so I just didn't know whether you knew that.
Can I start now?
Take it away.
Thank you. Well, welcome along to episode 7 of Me and My Dad, with myself and my daughter Ruthie. This is a baby boomer meets a Generation Z.
We've established a generation. We thought it was millennial, but...
Now, your sister, your elder sister, who is a millennial, has just won a major prize. She's in the British Press Awards.
She won an Oscar.
Well, not quite an Oscar, but in the British
a Nobel Peace Prize.
In the British Press Awards, let's not go over the top. In the British Press Awards, she's been voted sports journalist, or she's been awarded Sports Journalist of the Year. And I'm just wondering about sibling rivalry. She's the third of the four of you, and you're the baby, if you like. You're the fourth of you. And obviously, we've all congratulated her. But is there an element, and I can relate to this because my brother has won all sorts of awards over the years, and I've never won a damn thing, which doesn't bother me too much because I've sort of made a whatever the equivalent of a meme is out of never winning a damn thing. But do you find that...
whatever the equivalent of a meme is.
Yeah, whatever it is. But do you find a bit of sibling rivalry? When, you know, when your sister, your older sister, she's, what, 10 years older than you?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I don't... I think I do
a little
bit. Does
it put extra pressure on you? One of your friends said that, didn't they?
One of my friends was like, oh, you've got a lot to live up to then. It does in a way, but... You've never been the kind of parents that are like, oh, well, look at what Martha's doing.
No.
You go, do you know what I mean? And also, you're not like, I'm not a massive, like, rewards driven person.
Good.
Like, I don't really think I compare myself.
No.
Like, grades wise to other people, loads and loads. So I could do sometimes, but.
We can just congratulate Martha on the award.
Yeah, I think I think it does push you a bit. But I think it would be more of a thing if I was a journalist too and she'd won it.
Yeah.
Then that would be more of a thing. Or maybe if we were closer in age as well.
Mm.
But then I don't think Anna's really like...
competitive, although...
But there's a quote that is, every time one of my friends has success, a little piece of me dies.
Yes, that's right.
And I do agree with that. Like, I think it's more with your friends that you're really jealous. You are really happy for them, but there is a tiny little piece of you that's like, oh, well, that could be me. Like...
This is so right. It's so true. And so wise for one so young. You're not only under pressure because she's won that award. We're also under pressure this week. It's episode 7 because we've been voted podcast of the week in the Sunday Times. Not voted, but chosen by Gillian Reynolds, podcast of the week. And also, we can't do one next week because you're on a French exchange scheme. Tell us about that.
I'm going on French exchange.
Thank you. I should think there was more detail that you could
I'm
have
going
done
to La Flèche in the Loire Valley, and I'm going to stay with a girl who lives in France, obviously, her and her family for the week.
Yeah.
And we're stopping off in Paris on the way there as well.
Yeah. So there's a few of you going from college.
Yeah, there's about like 25.
And these are from the French class at college.
Yeah.
And a little bit apprehensive about just being left with a French family.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that because obviously I don't know them and I've never met them. But I think they'll be nice. Like, I've messaged my French exchange person a bit and she seems really, really nice and whatever. But it's still a bit scary. And also, like, they won't speak any English. Mm. Or she will a bit, but...
It's scary being in somebody else's house, though,
it's
isn't it?
I think it's more like... A lot of people are like, oh, are you nervous you won't be able to speak? And I'm like, well, I don't know that much French, but... I think I'll be fine with that. I'm not really nervous about the speaking the French. I'm more nervous about staying in someone's house that I've never met before.
About the fact that there'll be different programmes on their TV. You won't be able to watch Grey's Anatomy, several episodes of that, on their telly, because they'll have different programmes taped. And probably the food, you see, will be different.
The food, but luckily, I've said I eat fish, but I've not said I eat fish. I've just said I'm vegetarian, because... Where they're from, La Flèche, is famous for pâté. Oh. And so that's like the thing that they're going to give everyone. And everyone, that's like their big thing is like pâté, and that's not what people were hoping for. I think people were hoping for like croissants and pain au chocolat and all the stuff that you would eat over here, crepes and stuff.
Just as a sidebar to this, Ruth, what's the thing with Grey's Anatomy? Because I've noticed it's quite old, isn't it? I've noticed you've been watching episode after episode after episode.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's so good. I probably, no one spoil it for me because I started on like season 6 or something because Anna watches it. Anna's my older sister and she watched it when she was really young and like followed it the whole time, you know, like when it was coming out.
Does it not look a bit dated now?
It really doesn't look dated at all, but I think that's because it's all... Like, I think the only things that look really dated are, like, sci-fi films or sci-fi TV shows because the special effects has changed so much. If it's set in a hospital, the inside of a hospital looks much the same as it did in 1998 or whatever. And it's really fun. And it's very dramatic. It's like Casualty, basically, but it's much better than Casualty.
Can I tell you a funny story about Casualty? Yeah or no?
Yeah, go on.
Well, there's a funny story about Casualty. My brother is quite friendly with James Nesbitt, who was in this series called Cold Feet. And in it was John Thompson. John Thompson is a Manchester comedian and actor, voiceover person. He was in this and they were up for an award. To understand the comedy of this, you have to know that a famous football chant, when one set of violent supporters are taunting another set of violent supporters, they sing...
They spit at them.
No, this is pre-spitting, predate spitting. They'll shout to them, "You're going home in a fucking ambulance! You're going home in an ambulance!" Well, what happened was, this was, the Cold Feet was up for an award, and it was up against Casualty, and Casualty won the award. They're going up to get their award. John Thompson gets up on his feet and says, "You're going home in an ambulance!" Now, we did this Sunday Times mildly amusing Rod Little survey, didn't we?
Yeah, a little family, quiz.
We had a whole family quiz on this, and it was basically to find out how politically correct you are or not.
Not just politically correct, they're more like liberal.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a culture thing, wasn't it? And mostly, we sort of agreed-ish on it. Sometimes you're a bit more lefty, a bit more liberal than I was.
Yeah.
Myself and your mother, we were more sort of, well, we don't mind too much, but we think it's nonsense.
It just seems like, I think that's the difference, is for maybe millennials versus Generation Z, that Generation Z have been brought up with all these things that... When people question it, you're a bit like, what? Yeah, I can't believe that anyone... Like, we're doing about, like, suffragism at school at the moment, and so the idea that at one point women didn't have the vote is just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah. I mean, pay wasn't the issue, was it, as far as the suffragettes
go? Oh, no. I meant, like, because you do about suffragism, but then...
Does that include, like, Maid in Dagenham?
You do. The study period is from 1865 to 1928, but... You have to know that, later on there was the Dagenham machinist who walked out, because yeah. it's all like very much related, yeah. obviously.
So yes, because we sort of just agreed on that.
Oh, sorry.
Because the way the question was phrased, it said the differential pay rates that exist between men and women. If you were an A, you would say those differential pay rates are a consequence of the patriarchal state and institutionalised discrimination against women, which you were very much in favour of. I was a little bit further down. I was B. I was saying the differential pay rates, etc., are narrowing and persist only here and there.
No, but they don't persist. And I was very adamant that they don't.
Point.
Well, they don't persist only here and there. They persist everywhere. And it shouldn't be. And you shouldn't be.
Although in the business that I'm in, it hardly exists. I mean, you know, I can't get angry about the fact that Steph McGovern only earns $125,000 a year, whereas somebody else, Piers Morgan, earns £1 million a year. I wouldn't go to the barricades for that.
It's a more wide thing. It's just that not as many women are in visible positions of power either. Do you know what I mean? Still in the Houses of Commons, yeah. There's nowhere near as many female MPs as there are males. And what people always say is, yeah, but we've got a female Prime Minister.
And we were pretty much the same on things like the British colonies. See, this was one thing. Colonialism was an unequivocal evil, and the history of the British Empire should be a stain on our collective conscience. And
yeah, it went, that's what
there
I said.
There were three, yeah, the three things. I went to disagree. I disagreed on that. My view was it did some good things, and I mean, obviously there's bad things as well, Black Hole of Calcutta and all that. It did some good things, and Africa's poverty, and I was quite strong on this, is the consequence of bad governance today.
But is the bad governance there because we put people into slavery then? I think you can't separate
the two things.
This is what
young people
things.
Say. I think you can, you know, there comes a point where you have to stop beating yourselves up about
it. No, but I'm not beating myself up. I am taking responsibility and saying that I am partially, or my ancestors are partially, well, probably not my ancestors.
Not your ancestors. Your ancestors were being raped in Cossack.
I don't want to... I don't want to speak for black people, and I think that people who say that they take no shame for the prior generations
I think
it should be a tarnish on the on our reputation.
Yeah, a mild tarnish on our reputation. Not,
no, I think it should be like a big, dirty black mark.
All right, well, we're a bit disagreeing there. I say a little smudge, you say a dirty black mark, but there you go. That's unclear. And I think it's the fact that you're younger. I think younger people do see that. But when you're a bit older and you've been to Africa possibly, or you've spoken to a lot of businessmen who tried to... When I was working for the Central Office of Information, we're in the 1970s now. In those days...
We're in the 1970s.
I'm going to take you back to the 1970s. They were always trying to sell stuff in Nigeria, and they said the corruption was just so endemic. You know, you couldn't possibly do business. You know,
I get that.
If you had something that was good for the people of Nigeria, they couldn't do business there without bribery on a huge scale. That's the way business works.
Because we made them so poor?
Well, I don't think so.
But I don't think you can separate.
There's got to be a point where you take responsibility. It's like I could, all my many, many, many flaws, I could blame my parents for, and probably quite legitimately, if there was. But there comes a point where you have to stop blaming your parents and take responsibility yourself.
Well, I don't know. I don't think we can speak from like a black point of view.
No, we can't.
That's the really important thing. You can't speak for women, same as I can't speak for black people.
No. But I can speak for older men, so I'll continue to do that. And you speak for younger women.
Mm-hmm.
That works. And that is why this podcast is such a success.
Such a success.
Let's move from colonialism to Burger King. I always pronounce it, is it Burger King or
it's
Burger
just
King?
Burger King, but you pronounce it Burger King. You really hit the K.
You give me such a hard time whenever
that and how you sneeze is the two funniest things.
Really?
Dad sneezes like a cartoon sneezes. He goes, hap-choo, hap-choo.
This is nonsense, people. This is absolute nonsense. The two things you always get me on is the way I say Burger King.
Burger King.
But anyway, Burger King, that better. Or Burger King. I'm trying.
Burger King.
Burger King. Burger King.
Okay, go on.
Burger King. They've come up with another, and we were talking, I don't know whether it was with you or it was on one of my other various broadcasting outlets, where I was talking about the McDonald's Royal, you know, the new Big Mac, which
it's like extra. They've done two new sizes, haven't they? Junior Mac and
the massive
extra
one,
Mac.
Which has got all the calories you could need for the next 6 months or something. It's got a huge amount of calories in. Well, Burger King has a bit of rivalry. It's come up with a bacon cheeseburger. Now, this bacon cheese, it's a new bacon cheeseburger, which is called the Bacon King Sandwich. Now, the Bacon King Sandwich, and I think I am right to stress the word king at this stage, because this new offering is made up of 2 quarter-pounder burgers and 8 slices of bacon.
Oh, my God.
Yes, you read that correctly. 8. That's an entire packet of bacon. Also, there's a hearty portion of cheese, ketchup and mayonnaise. The price will vary up and down the country, but it's expected to be a pricey addition to the menu, costing about £8 for a meal.
Wow, that's so expensive. That's like a restaurant meal is like £8, like a pizza in a restaurant.
Almost. But unsurprisingly, the new burger, which is only available for a limited time, comes with some worrying nutritional information. No, really? It has, you know, 8 slices of bacon. How can that be worrying? It's odd, isn't it? It has 1,150...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Calories, more than half the daily recommended amount for women, and that's before you add chips and a drink, etc. 79 grams of fat, etc., etc. And I wanted to ask you, I know you wouldn't go anywhere near that because you don't eat meat, for a start.
Yeah.
But in terms, if you were eating meat, and I'm going to tell me about your friends, would they, I mean, is there some sort of, almost like a match?
It's too expensive.
It's just too expensive.
Why would you ever go to, like, we go to McDonald's. You go to McDonald's to save money. You would never pay £8 for something at McDonald's, because you could go to Nando's for £8. Like, that's, without a drink, that's about how much I spend at Nando's.
It says it costs £8 for a meal. So,
so you get the chips
and the fries and the
drink. So you get the fries, but without, so Nando's without a drink would cost about £8 with a side. Whereas that's £8 with a drink. So I guess it's slightly cheaper, but really, why would you go there and spend £8?
Why this trend? You know, when you see all the...
People like to challenge themselves as to how much they can
eat. That's what I was going
to ask.
There
was the chicken nugget challenge where you try and eat like 100 chicken nuggets or something. I just think people like to take everything to the extreme.
Yeah, there is, and I just wonder if any of your friends did that, because I know you take it to the slightly other extreme, in that when we went to Pret-a-Manger today, right, is that all right?
Yeah,
can
yeah.
I say that? I'm not saying that wrongly. Right, good. You had this sort of crypto quasi sushi type thing with 3 little tiny bits of rice, a small, very small salmon portion, and some of the purple stuff they do and the green stuff, which I reckon must be 300, 400
calories?
No,
it's about 400 calories, yeah. I think.
So you watch your calories like that. But I was just wondering at the other end, if there was somebody thinking, yeah,
I don't always, like, I don't calorie count, though. People do, like, people keep, like, notebooks and, like, write down their calories. Like, I would never do that.
Yeah, but there'd be people who are trying to diet, wouldn't they?
Trying to diet, or are, like, yeah. and like had body dysmorphia.
Mm. So here's something interesting. There was a feature in the you've got loads of stuff.
I've got topics.
I've got topics.
I'm just sat here
reacting.
Yeah, which I do well.
That's why it's such a hit podcast.
This is our science special.
Oh, good. Science special.
Because Stephen Hawking, sadly, has passed away.
He has?
So I just thought we'd mention it, just because topical. Mm. Happened today.
Yeah.
Woke up with a notification on my phone. Stephen Hawking's died. Oh. Mm.
Yes, you came in. That's one of those occasions when you can go into your parents' bedroom. And there's two occasions, isn't there? One when it's snowing, and the other one is when there's a celebrity who's died.
Yeah,
and,
those are the two times I get really excited.
Yeah, and you came in and told us Stephen Hawking had died.
Stephen Hawking died. It's just quite sad, but people do a lot. So there's a Snapchat filter that says RIP Stephen Hawking.
Can I just tell you, before you tell me about the Snapchat filter and everything, and we will, this is just very briefly, one of my friends tweeted, all over the country now, people are saying, oh, it's Hawking. I thought it was Hawkins. But go ahead.
So, yeah, but that was basically it about that. But people put it up on their Snapchat story, which I always think is very weird, because you wouldn't put it up if it was, like, your granddad who died. I think that would be weird. But people do, actually. They put RIP.
They put it on Facebook.
Yeah.
It's always
so it's just so weird. But anyway, that was
when
it.
When you see on Facebook, all the time people are putting things about relatives and their father's died, and I will say to your mum, I say, oh, Janet, I've just been looking at Facebook. Somebody I don't know whose father's died.
As this is in the news, a big news item is that Tracy Beaker is returning.
What's that got to do with Stephen Hawking?
It's another topical news item.
All right, we're not saying anything more about Stephen Hawking.
Well, I thought we kind of did.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to let everyone know.
This man is... Well, no, they'll have seen it on their own Twitter feed. This man had so many amazing achievements, and we've done with him now. He's gone. He's dead. So let's go.
Well, do you want to talk about advanced physics?
No, I want to talk about Tracy Beaker.
Good.
Which was a big influence of you.
Oh, my gosh. I think Jacqueline Wilson is my, like, idol. Like, genuinely, I think I would choose for her to... You know, you're in, like, dead people dinner party.
Mm.
I mean, I know she's not dead. But you, like, dream dinner party.
Yeah.
I honestly think that Jacqueline Wilson... And I got to... I didn't meet her, but I listened to her speak.
She was at the West Yorkshire Playhouse, wasn't
she? Yeah, because I went to see Hetty Feather, which is one of her books that I'd read, but it was like a stage show, and she came to speak, and she did like a question-answer session.
You
and
read
managed
all
to...
those books, didn't you?
I genuinely, until about 4 years ago, probably, it was like having another parent. She took me right through that time. And such a massive influence on knowing how other people's families worked, and kids in care, and kids with just one parent, or kids that lived with their aunties or ran away. There was one called Lily Alone, which I loved. And she was just... And so Tracy Beaker is coming back, and she's going to be a single mum, and she's writing a book called My Mum, Tracy Beaker, which I'm going to definitely read. Mm. I honestly think she's brilliant. Mm. Like, I know you like a lot of her books were very similar, but...
Oh, they were. Cause
she's the similar. Enid Blyton of our age, but she's so much better than Enid Blyton. And I think...
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, well, do you know what I mean? And I think that it's really good that she's managed to be so prolific, but also make each of her books a really interesting story.
Yeah. Now, somebody has... Let me tell you about something else. Somebody has written a book all about the teenage brain, how the teenage brain
Oh, my God.
Works. Yeah.
Because we're such enigmas.
Well, you say that. I think this is true. This is somebody called Sarah Jane Blakemore, and this is proper scientific analysis. She's a psychologist, and she's done experiments and everything. And this heading of this chapter here is "I want to be in your gang," which she's looking at. Yes, well, she's looking. You're in the gang. She's looking at teenagers wanting, you know, social exclusion. Teenagers.
Oh my gosh, she's cracked it. Teenagers want to be accepted. No.
Yes. Well, she did experiments, you know, actual proper scientific experiments. She said, well, I'll try and summarise this as best I can. What drives this increased sensitivity to friends' opinions and judgments? We conducted a lab-based experiment in which social exclusion was simulated using a computer game called Cyberball. You don't need to know about the computer game because it's loads and loads about that. We studied groups of young adolescents, age 11 to 13, mid-adolescents, 14 to 16.
My God, I'm old.
Yeah,
I'm old.
You still come into the mid-adolescent one, actually, and adults, age 22 to 47. So you would be in the mid-adolescent group. Young adolescent, and basically what the game does is, it in a sort of cyber way, it excludes you at one point. So you're excluded, you know, you've got to do things, and then you're excluded. And she measured how your behaviour changes when you're excluded in this game. And it said younger adolescents also reported higher anxiety than adults after exclusion. In other words, adolescents seem to be hypersensitive to social exclusion. This brings me to the idea that the fear of being socially excluded influences many decisions that adolescents make, which seems to me to be very, very, very
wise.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, well, I don't think you needed a scientific...
Well, yeah, but when
you didn't need data to tell people that. When you're at school, you want to be part of a gang.
Yeah.
Like, and I have a lot of issues with someone writing something about the teenage brain. Like, I get why you do it, but I feel like people psychoanalyze you too much, and it's just a bit like, you should spend more time talking to teenagers rather than studying their brains.
Well, I think her studies, that's exactly what she says. I'll just take you a bit of a headline here from this. If a child hasn't done well during childhood, it's not too late to intervene and provide extra support in adolescence. And what she's saying is that adolescence, which covers everything from 11 to about your age, adolescence is...
So basically you're... high school to college.
Yeah, like is a really ages. Important period in development. I don't know whether
that's like pretty well known.
And the fact that you want to be in your gang, you feel, is why when your friends come round to the house, you want to get away from me as soon as possible, or your mum, because we might embarrass you, in that we might behave in a way that doesn't fit in with your crowd.
I'm not as bad with like being embarrassed as I was a year ago.
Well, let's move on to one of your other topics.
Okay,
there.
So I've got...
Just before that, can I just say, there was a cartoon in Private Eye this week, which was marked Turf War, T-E-R-F, War, and it was two people who may or may not have been, there might have been, I think there was a woman and there was a... I couldn't understand the cartoon, because I've no idea what a TERF is. So what is a...
A trans-exclusionary radical feminist.
A trans-exclusionary radical feminist.
It might be trans-exclusionist.
Right.
But it excludes.
And people identify themselves as TERFs, do they?
Not in my circle.
No, but is that...
I think, yeah, I think it's more of a online
And
thing,
is it
I
to
guess.
Do with the argument between...
It's just to do with, like, new wave... Fourth wave? What wave are we on now? New wave modern feminism or whatever.
Oh, the old new wave PMF.
No, new wave feminism, and just about kind of whether feminism includes trans people.
Right.
I think it does.
You think it does, obviously. Yeah. But Jermaine Greer, who was a well-known
says
feminist
that
of the old school...
A trans woman is not a woman.
A trans woman is not a real
woman.
When,
obviously.
Although I'm more qualified than you to speak on this, because I do have a transgender friend.
Okay, whatever. My next piece was just an article by Ivana Bacaletti, I think, in The Guardian. Women must act, and this was the headline, "Women must act now or male-designed robots will take over our lives." So it's about AI. AI has a major bias to white males.
Why?
Because white males are the people who are inventing the AI, and without realising it, you will program biases. It's just... Because
why white? I mean, I would have thought that there'd be black people working on AIs as well.
Not nearly as many. So in the STEM industry, so that's science, technology, engineering and maths, which there is a major push to get girls in constantly through high school. They were like, oh, do you think about going into STEM? There was STEM lectures, STEM trips.
STEM, you see, that's a new one on me. Science, technology,
STEM is like a massive thing at school. But you probably have never heard of it because I'm not interested in it at all. But STEM...
Science, technology, engineering and
maths.
Maths, yeah.
And there's a massive gender gap in this. Not nearly as many women, not nearly as many minority people, because first of all, it's a difficult one to get into. You have to stay in school longer, which women tend to do less. You have to be very dedicated to your career, which means you have children, perhaps. So there's just a whole plethora of reasons why women are not in it as much as men.
But and why doesn't it? I mean, I would have thought, as far as black and minority ethnic, BAMEs, it's one of the initials I know, are concerned, it seems to me that that sort of technology area.
Yeah, so is technology one that is, but
Asians
the,
are particularly this interested in.
Area of like very new cutting edge development is dominated by white men.
Right.
So there was the Microsoft Tay chatbot, which was created as an AI, which was built to mimic speech on Twitter and then tweet things, but had no one behind it. And within 24 hours, it became an anti-feminist Nazi. And this is one of its tweets.
Oh, I remember this one.
Hitler did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And that was one of its tweets. And so this is what's happening with the AI. It's just that it's completely anti-women through no one's fault, really. Like, no one's specifically designed it to be that way, but it's just developed this way. And then
it's frightening that it's broken off on its own.
Yeah, it's really frightening.
It's the early days, and that one assumes it's something that's gone wrong.
Yeah, and so she kind of looked at AI from an angle that I hadn't really thought of it at, from like a feminist angle.
What scares me about artificial intelligence, about you, is that you know, machines will think for themselves
and take over the world.
Stephen Hawking, remember him? I know we did with him in about... we managed to reduce him to 30 seconds. But Stephen Hawking said if there were two things that he was scared of, two things he's scared of were climate change and artificial intelligence.
Yeah,
those
completely.
Are the two things that are going to destroy us, if anything destroys
us.
How scared are you of those
things? Scale of 1 to 10, 9 on climate change, 8... No, 7 on AI. I think that I feel like we'll get AI under wraps, or it won't be maybe within my lifetime. So, but I think what she was more coming out from was not that there was going to be mass unemployment because these jobs were gone, but there was going to be mass employment for women.
My comment on that whole article would be typical Guardian. All the wisdom that you've imparted, Ruth, in this 25 or however many minutes is going to have to last people for nearly a fortnight because...
We'll be back in... We're having a week off.
You're having a week off because you're on your French exchange. Before we go, Ruth, do you want to promise something that we're going to do in a fortnight's time, which we won't...
I want to make an empty promise.
Yes, make an empty promise because we've got 2 whole weeks till we come back again, and people can hold it dear to their heart for a fortnight, and then we won't do it.
You put me on the spot here. I don't know what we're going to talk about.
We're not going to try out teas, are we? We could bring in some herbs and sniff them in 2 weeks' time.
That's such a bad idea.
Is it?
It sounds like we're going to do drugs live. We could talk about making weed legal.
Yeah, actually, we will do that because that was one of the on my
and that's one of the things the Green Party campaigns.
On one of my award-winning radio shows on Talk Radio, it was about the one thing we actually got calls about.
Yeah.
We talked about legalizing cannabis. And that's been a debate for years and years. And I suspect some of your friends at school, we'll talk about it. Some of them, you don't need to name names. We'll talk about it in a fortnight's time. And we'll try and remember to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, marijuana, that's your promise.
That's our empty promise.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.